In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We know, in fact, that God works in all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Those among you who think I've made a mistake in the quote, just to say that there's a lot of discussion by critics and scholars about this text, but God seems to be the subject of the sentence and not everything else. God works all things together for good. Can you possibly believe that? Looking across the world, devastated by the coronavirus pandemic, what do we see? We see a world in which nations seem to have descended into ever more bitter relationships, threatening world peace. We see millions of people thrust into greater poverty than before, and with at least one whole nation dying of famine. We see the infection continuing to rise. We see countries unable to come together to help others who are more afflicted. We see economic disaster on every side with loss of jobs and livelihoods on an ever-increasing scale. We see precious relationships fostered across our Anglican Communion threatened by lack of resources. And nearer home, we wonder whether some iconic churches in London and historic cathedrals, which depend on visitor income, will survive. We wonder whether congregations will return. And we may sense fear that there will not be enough resources and personnel to manage another spike in the virus. And at the most domestic level, even more pointedly since last night, we think about going on holiday, wonder whether we will, and probably decide that we won't. We look out across the world and see a scene of horrendous chaos and despair, with massive cracks appearing where previously we had assumed that things were stable. It is easy to give up hope, let alone to believe that God can be working for good in all of this. Two convictions about God and about hope are central to St. Paul's message at the end of chapter 8 of Romans, which we read for our epistle. God and God's people in every age are in for the very long haul. The Old Testament reminds us that God is the God of history as well as of the present moment. And perhaps even more surprising, that God gives to those who follow him a purpose, which is to cooperate in bringing about the new kingdom which is promised. A kingdom of justice, righteousness, peace, healing for creation, and blessing for all people. A kingdom which was proclaimed in the coming of Jesus and realized in Jesus' ministry. Now, as at every other time of crisis in the world's history, Christian people need to hang on to the bigger picture, to be open to the Holy Spirit, who is at work in all those who believe, and probably in many others as well. We may understandably groan at the sight of all we see as we look out across the world. God groans with us. So does the whole of creation, as St. Paul says in preceding verses. waiting for fulfillment, for that time when everything will be redeemed and released into the glory of God's eternal kingdom, a glory which we can only glimpse now and again. Last Sunday, Bishop Andrew spoke of the patience we need and hopefully have gained during these extraordinary times when everything seems such a muddle. St. Paul also speaks about patience, but also suggests that we can be patient only because we have hope. Hope in God who is working in ways of which we are only very partially aware, working in many hidden ways, working for good in a mission in which we are called to join. As God's Holy Spirit groans within us, our first task is to continue to pray, even though that prayer is likely to be very inarticulate, expressed perhaps simply by sitting silently in God's presence, offering our groaning, our lamentation, even our despair about how far things in our world are from all that God desires. Waiting in that gap, we realize that the Spirit of God prays within us and through us. And sometimes, as the clouds part for a moment, we may glimpse signs of the kingdom coming around us. People freed from slavery and from unjust treatment. Healed of sickness, treated with generosity and love, released to love God and one another. And even in places we might glimpse creation being restored rather than destroyed by pollution and exploitation. We pray because we have hope. We pray in a very hard place, but as we do so, we are challenged to recognize that if we are willing, God uses us to bring about good things. We can act with God in ways which are releasing, peacemaking, creation healing, and loving. In themselves, each is just a small sign of the kind of world for which God longs, a world under God's loving care. It is our calling to work with God for good in all things, under all circumstances, and at all times. And to do so, we may have to make sacrifices. Economic shifts may mean that we have to live significantly differently. We may have to change our priorities. Perhaps it will be to engage more in the life of our nation and community. We may not all be called to politics, although some may. We may not all have to share our homes with others, although some may. We may not all be called to work for a successful financial institution, but maybe for a much less well-paid job with a charity, but some may. What is your calling at this time of disruption and crisis? It is our task to discover that calling, and as we follow it, we will discover hope. But all this depends on deepening our faith in God who is for us. We have hope because, as St. Paul puts it, God is on our side. Not only did he give us Jesus to share in every experience, pain, and joy of our humanity, but also raised Jesus from death, so that now Christ stands in the loving presence of the Father, holding us in his heart, praying for us. We are held in a love which cannot be destroyed by anything in our experience, nor in the whole of creation. And because God loves us, we can love in return, just as a child loves, having first received love from his parents or others. The more we know ourselves loved and called to share in bringing in God's kingdom, the more we will live hopefully and purposefully and without despair. St. Paul was a good person to bear testimony to all of this. He suffered all kinds of hardship and difficulties in the course of his life and mission. The resounding final words of Romans 8 are, in a sense, his testimony. Nothing can separate us from God's love. It is as we experience and rejoice in that love that then and only then can we trust that God is indeed good and working to bring good out of everything, both on a cosmic and a personal scale. Our perspective on the present moment is a struggle. We see so much which is negative engulfing our world. And yet, our perspective on suffering in general and things which don't seem good in particular gradually shifts. They shift from despair to hope, from lamentation to action, from groaning to a different kind of prayer, which we call intercession, which is when we hold and name before God the suffering and pain which we see in the world. And as we love people more and more, we trust that God will hear our cry and respond. It isn't easy to make these shifts in awareness. It's always a temptation to doubt God's goodness, love, and power. But it is at the very heart of the spiritual life. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It is an experience of consolation as we experience God not as remote, but as close. Not as distantly indifferent, but as loving. Not as careless, but as active. Last week, I was in touch with a friend who has a responsible job in the Church of England, a job which she was doing exceptionally well and was planning to continue for several more years. But she has been forced to take early retirement because of serious illness. The extent and seriousness of that illness was at least partly caused by slow diagnosis and possibly even negligence. As a result, she came within a hair's breadth of dying. We had a conversation on the phone last week. "This is not the best way to end a job," I said to her. And she just replied, "No, it hasn't been great." And then after a little pause, she said, "But I think that God has something more for me yet." And in that moment, I recognized a fellow traveler in Christ who has known God's love and calling and knows it still, despite the very hard time she has been through and the difficulties which she now faces with impaired health. She She bears witness to a loving God whose love will not forsake her. The God who is always working to bring everything together for good. Will we believe it? Amen.